Hello, this is the Skeptic Overlord with an addition to the Below Top Secret humor feed. And as the title of this podcast might betray, I'm about to relate a true story, actually happened to me. However, I must give strong caution at this moment. If you have a weak stomach or gross stories cause you to run and speak to York, person to porcelain, this is not the story for you. So turn off the podcast now. Walk away. You have been properly warned. Now, as for the story, this is often told over beers, drinks, and whatever else. And in that honor, I have with me a bottle of Maine's finest. I discovered the Shipyard Export Ale while I was vacationing in Maine. So with that, let's get on with the story. Well, about 6 years ago, I ended up having to travel quite a bit. And in my travels, a lot of plane trips, and a lot of time in airports, and a lot of delays. That's one of the necessary evils of business trips and things like that, is you just end up with a lot of delays. And a couple times, I ended up getting stranded in a city, in most often New York. I would most of my trips took me to New York. This is before I moved here. And the LaGuardia Airport does tend to get backed up. So in this one case, we were I was with a business associate, and we were headed back to the LaGuardia Airport. And this one particular time, we didn't pay attention to weather reports. You know, we finished our business in Connecticut, and we're headed back to the airport, and didn't even bother to check to see if our flight was on time or anything like that, because we just didn't think about it. So when we got to the airport, we were a little concerned that it was crowded. I mean, there were lots of people milling about the ticket booths and the ticket counters, rather, and trying to rearrange flights, because there were a number of delays. Nothing that happened in New York, but apparently delays someplace else, some other hub, and flights were just not getting into LaGuardia. So after some time, we learned our flight was delayed about 4 or 5 hours, and one of those necessary evils. It ended up being delayed more like 6 hours. And so we waited around for that to happen. As luck would have it, as the day went on, a lot of other flights just were being canceled because there was no aircraft coming in from where there were other significant delays. But we ended up getting on our plane late, almost 6 hours late, but a really full plane. And as we learned talking to some of the people getting on, these were not typical travelers headed back in our direction. These were people that were trying to get further, that had to. And the plane was mostly filled with people that were hoping to get a rental car when we landed at our ultimate destination, because there was just everything so screwed up. So a lot of the typical passengers going back in this direction just simply weren't on the plane. So as it filled up, I sort of started to snooze off. I had a window seat, and it was the typical commuter jet, three seats on either side of the aisle. And, as the final boarding was taking place, I noticed the plane was packed, but for some reason the two seats next to me were still empty. And I was sort of realizing, ooh, I lucked out as I drifted off asleep. Now, the bane of business travelers on an airplane is small children. Not because, well, at least in my case, I'm not necessarily fond of small children. I have a reputation to keep. But anyway, just because an airplane is a terrible place for kids. They, the ear pressure, they just don't know how to deal with it. They get grouchy and they get noisy. So it's not that of a great environment for children to be able to just sit quietly and relax and just wait for it to finish, as adults tend to do, just get the pain over with. So I woke from my dozing off next to the window seat to a child screaming next to me. Screaming. And mother in the aisle seat. And so I was just, here we go. An hour and a half of this. And wasn't too happy with that. So Junior kept screaming. But Mom eventually settled him down, got him into the seat, and got him buckled up. And Junior had a bad cold. And Mom knew this and was doing her best to wipe his nose, which was just running all over the place. And as you can imagine, Junior's wiping his nose and touching stuff all over the place, touching the armrests and, you know, things everywhere. And that's just, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, be over in my spot next to the window and just hang out over there, look the other way, look out the window as the plane takes off, and just, you know, do my best to carry on as this happens on my right side here. So it wasn't too bad during takeoff, and the plane's up, and, you know, the seatbelt sign goes off, and Junior starts to get a little antsy and sits on the tray and turns around, and apparently Dad's in the row behind him, and I probably should have offered to switch seats, but, you know, it's sort of, you're sort of becoming that state of, you know, you've had a long day and you're just not thinking clearly and you just want this damn flight to get over with. So, now it starts to get worse. I noticed, well, first off, you know, being from New York and, you know, of a more cosmopolitan nature, certainly we understand the nature of other cultures and peoples. It's a very vibrant city, and part of its vibrancy really is all of the unique and excellent cultures that make up New York. And I was able to tell pretty easily, even though I hadn't yet moved to New York, I spent a lot of time in New York, and where I came from was also pretty culturally mixed. I was able to pretty easily discern that this was a Pakistani family, and very, very well dressed, very well to do, apparently. And so, you know, with that in mind, you don't think of these things ahead of time, but some cultures handle things differently than American cultures, and sometimes you're not quite prepared for that. And Junior was getting really antsy. He was talking to Dad, talking to Mom, and you know, going back and forth, and, you know, he had his shoes off and he was in his bare feet, and you know, was kept tugging at Mom for something. And eventually Mom realized what Junior was looking for. Now Junior was, you know, perhaps, you know, my best guess was maybe 2 and a half, possibly 3, but somewhere, you know, between 2 and 3 years old. Certainly able to stand, you know, on his own and converse and carry on. At least, you know, from what I could tell, I wasn't able to understand the language, but, you know, what appeared to be, you know, entire sentences exchanged between the parents. And so Mom finally realized what Junior was looking for. Let me take another sip of the Shipyard Export Ale here. Junior was hungry. And Mom obliged. So Junior began breastfeeding right there next to me, which, okay, I've dealt with this, and, you know, I've seen this happen. I'm not someone who's going to be shocked at seeing that in public. However, the apparent age of Junior was a surprise. So anyway, I tolerated this as best I could, except that while this was going on, Junior was sort of in a rhythm and kicking his feet, and they kept, you know, kicking my my pants. And Junior's feet were rather dirty. So I, you know, tapped his leg and tried to get Mom's attention that, you know, I didn't want that to happen. And Junior, you know, she shifted and Junior pulled away, and not a good sight, you know, milk dripping and stuff. So you know, all bad. And he started crying. Dad came around and, you know, what's happening? What's going on? And I told him, you know, I just, you know, please, you know, try to keep this from happening with his feet. And so very understanding. And again, this is a point in time where I should have said, you know, Dad, why don't you just sit over here and I'll take your seat. But I just wasn't thinking clearly. And, you know, long day kind of thing. Of course, should I have done that? Now, as if this course of events were not bad enough, it's still not living up to the title of this podcast now, is it? So we'll get to that. Oh, trust me, we will. So Junior had his fill and went down about his business, and I could see Dad was sleeping, and Mom was trying to sleep as well. And Junior was not letting them sleep, of course. Yeah, it's not a pleasant thing to be on a plane and a kid. But his cold was still raging. You know, stuffy nose, runny, and just causing, you know, a problem. You know, he was in distress. It was running down his face, and he kept wiping it with his hands. His hands were all, you know, sticky and shiny from, you know, the snot, you know, that he was trying to wipe. So that's, you know, okay, again, I'm sort of leaning as far as I can to the left towards the window and just trying to, you know, get through this, because I can feel the plane descending. That okay, there's only at best, you know, 20, maybe 15 minutes of this left, and I'm almost there. You know, I have just a little more time. I can make it. And then Junior was able to get Mom's attention again, and able to communicate what he was looking for, and Mom understood. Now, going back to what I related earlier, that, you know, there are certainly different cultures that do things differently, and what was about to happen, I've actually have heard of, but typically this happens with infants and in more of a closer to an emergency situation, though not, you know, life threatening. But anyway, like I said, Mom understood what Junior was looking for, because apparently this was a request, often, maybe not often, but a request that had been previously granted in a situation where Junior has a runny nose that is just a problem. So with that, recognizing Junior's distress and his needs, Mom came close, took Junior's head, clamped her mouth over his nose, and sucked it all in. Yes. I was in shock. I just couldn't believe it. But the Mom didn't spit it out either. And I'm waiting for that to happen, for it to exit somehow. And it didn't. You know, she went about her deal, and Junior went about his deal, and I don't remember what I thought, really, what I did for those next 5 minutes. I just remember that noise and that event and this story that I share, because I feel I need to share this kind of pain. And the more I share, the better I feel about having experienced this. So the next time someone relates an airplane story or a horror story or a terrible flight, just think back to this, and always remember that it could be worse, because you have heard the worst airplane story there is, courtesy of your friend, the Skeptic Overlord.